Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. We will have a communion later. And before we do that, we're going to learn from the Bible. If you have the Bible, please open the Bible. And today's passage is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. We're going to read it together aloud. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another for out of reverence for Christ. Last time, last week, from the same Bible passage, we considered the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit as our character appearing in our daily lives, which believers in Christ seek and choose with their own will. And so we emphasize that more than the so-called extraordinary experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Mysterious Holy Spirit experiences, such as being suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit by the providence of the Lord and speaking in tongues or prophesying, are, I believe, important faith experiences. However, the filling of the Holy Spirit that Apostle Paul speaks of here in Ephesians is that the filling of the Holy Spirit that is manifested in our daily lives, requiring our own will and attitude. That is, it is the filling of the Holy Spirit that appears in relationship between people, the filling of the Holy Spirit that is manifested in connections with and interaction with others outside of oneself. It may be said a person's life is all about human relationships. The Bible surprisingly seems to value not so much the mysterious spiritual experiences of the Holy Spirit, but even more so the filling of the Holy Spirit that is embodied in every human relationship in the real field of life, especially not with distant people, but rather with those who are right near us, our neighbors, the people right in front of us. That's the type of filling of the Holy Spirit that is embodied in human interactions. Why does war never cease? I think this is a question everyone has. But the reason the Bible gives seems surprisingly simple and clear. It is because people direct their thoughts toward those far away, with whom they cannot immediately interact, rather than toward those people nearby. It is as if God is saying that you try to care about distant things or distant people, but you don't care about those who are right near you. You don't try to be considerate of them. That is why Jesus came to this earth in the limited form of a human being. He was born 2,000 years ago in the limited time of history in the specific town of Bethlehem in Palestine as a baby, a being who could only survive held close in the arms of a mother and father with human limitations. Then during the following 30 years of his walk within the limited region from Galilee to Judea, he revealed himself as the Messiah, the Christ, within relationship with people whom he met in that limited setting. That's how Jesus revealed himself. In other words, Jesus treasured those people right before him, those close at hand, those whom he could reach out and touch. And within those relationships, he embodied the kingdom of God. After Jesus was crucified, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to us, came not in the form of a human being with the limitations, but as a spirit, unlimited in form, and descended upon this earth and upon people. Yet what God demands and expects of those who receive and seek this filling of the Holy Spirit, this filling of the Holy Spirit, is that the manifestation of that filling within relationships with people nearby, those right before us, within reach. So in such a way, God wants us to seek. Just as Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, the world sees that you love one another, then the world will know that you are my disciples. I think that we human beings are generally unwilling to admit that the small conflicts we have with those near us become, in a global scale, the great waves of war that shake the world. Have you ever heard of the butterfly effect? Where if a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, a tornado may occur in Texas. This effect seems to apply equally to our sins and spiritual problems. The work of the Holy Spirit that the Bible values is one that appears and is revealed in those who are right near us. The filling of the Holy Spirit is manifested in our relationship with those immediately around us, whether husband or wife, child or parent, brother or sister, colleague, senior, junior or friend. The Bible speaks to us to seek and choose the filling of the Holy Spirit that appears in facial expressions, deeds, attitudes, and postures. And I believe that this message is summarized in the words of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 21 that we just read earlier. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." This morning, to go one step deeper in this word, beyond last week's message, I would like to consider one example of a negative model in the Bible. This negative example is someone who experienced a mysterious spiritual filling of the Holy Spirit, but did not seek the filling of the Holy Spirit that is manifested in human relationships, that is, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we will talk about this person, actually two individuals in the Bible from the Old Testament. We are currently studying the book of Numbers in the early morning prayer meeting, and the Bible passages we are reading in accordance with the Bible reading chart distributed last month are also from Numbers. So in the book of Numbers, a fortune teller and sorcerer named Balaam appears. This fortune teller named Balaam seems to have been a well-known and famous fortune teller and sorcerer in the Middle East 3,500 years ago. But for some reason, a man named Balak, the king of Moabites, feared and trembled before the wandering Israelites. Although the Israelites had no land, no nation, were in a state like a collective homelessness. So this king, Balak, paid a large sum of money to hire Balaam and ask him to curse and destroy the people of Israel. The fortune teller, Balaam, thinking that this was his chance, accepted the request. But the Lord God, who loved the people of Israel so much that he considered them his treasured people and would give his life for them, appeared directly to this fortune teller, Balaam. Balaam was not a Christian, Balaam did not believe in real God, but rather, you know, he made a living by deceiving and controlling people's hearts through divination, sorcery, religious rituals that oppose the true teaching of God. Yet God spoke directly to him and said, "You must never harm the people of Israel. You must not utter even a single word of curse against them." So let's look at more specifically. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 12, God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people, because they are blessed." That's what Numbers says. So them in this passage refers to Israelites. So the God appeared directly to Balaam and spoke to him. So basically, God said to Balaam, "Do not curse the Israelites, for they are blessed people whom I love." So in a way, Balaam had a very mysterious experience with God. You know, anyone who believes in God, any one of us, you know, must have thought, "I want to hear God's voice directly. If God appeared right before my eyes, how clear and good that would be. I wouldn't have to live with frustration. I could have a faith without a doubt." So that's how often we feel. However, God spoke to Balaam, although Balaam did not really believe in God. Balaam did not confess in God. But for some reason, he experienced what many Christians want to experience. That is, he received direct words from God, a revelation from God. And in fact, that happened multiple times according to this passage. So God appears to Balaam directly, and also the Spirit of God comes upon him, on Balaam. If you look at Numbers chapter 24, verse 2, it says, "When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him." Even the Spirit of God comes upon the fortune teller, Balaam. In a way, Balaam had this enviable, extraordinary experience of God. But even so, this experience of the Holy Spirit, this encounter with God, did not change Balaam's way of life. Despite this experience of God, of the Holy Spirit, Balaam did not humble himself before the true God, nor did he repent of his way of life and confess his deep sinfulness. He did not seek forgiveness, nor did he abandon his business of cursing people. He did not make a decision to love people in the name of God. He did not try to embody in his daily life and relationship the work of the Holy Spirit. Andrew Murray once mentioned, "When I die, the Spirit lives. When I die to self, the Spirit lives." That type of thinking did not happen to Balaam. Balaam did not choose a way of life that manifests the fullness of the Spirit in relationship with people and serve others. Instead, Balaam stayed in relationships that are violent, empty, brutal, where people curse one another, fight over right and wrong, and compete for superiority. So, although Balaam had this marvelous, even visible experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, he did not seek or choose the work of the Spirit described as submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Balaam did not choose the glorious life of recognizing true God. So he did not taste the joy of God living within him. He did not choose the glorious path of dying to ego so that the Holy Spirit might work within him. This precious experience of God bore no fruit of the Spirit on the part of Balaam. So that special experience did not bear any fruit of the Spirit for Balaam. And so we read in Numbers chapter 24, verse 25. Then Balaam got up, returned home, So even after being filled with the Holy Spirit and having that experience of God, Balaam returned to his own place, choosing not God, but himself. He could not let go of the danger of making himself the master of his own life, of a self-righteous way of living. He returned to his own place, to eternal destruction, choosing sinful self, a path of eternal self-destruction. Rather than choosing a life of engaging in the truly fruitful spiritual battle that bears the fruit of the Spirit, he chose instead to keep living a life of unspiritual battles, earning money even by cursing others, standing by his own power even by cursing others, forcing others to recognize his own correctness even by cursing them. That's the type of life Balaam chose. He did not intentionally seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Which means stopping what is not pleasing to the Lord. The following are words of evaluation about Balaam in the New Testament. So there are references to Balaam in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, "They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness." Now let's look at Jude, verse 11. Jude, verse 11, the book right before Revelation. Jude, verse 11. "Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit in Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion." Now, next, let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Verse 14. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality." Balaam, despite having been filled with the Spirit of God, he acted as if it had never happened and returned to his own place. So the way he lived was remembered as a bad example in the New Testament, a few thousand years later. And there's one more individual. Let's look at Numbers chapter 25. There's one more person who returned to his own place. That is Balak, the king of Moab. Let's look at it again. Numbers chapter 24, verse 25. It says, then Balaam got up and returned home, and Balak went his own way. Balak, the king, witnessed with his own eyes everything that happened to the fortune teller, Balaam. His experience of God, his experience of the Holy Spirit, the words of God, and the God blessings upon Israel. So Balak heard and saw it all firsthand. And Balak's emotions were stirred. But yet, just like Balaam, Balak returned to his own place. What is most regrettable is this. Compared to the fortune teller Balaam, Balak, the king of Moabites, was much closer to the blessed people of Israel, and that he had a far greater opportunity to partake in God's blessing. You know, the Moabites were descendants of Lot, so the nephew of Abraham. So in other words, Moabites are people who had left Ur of the Chaldeans with Abraham, shared in the words of blessing from the Lord with Abraham, and were the people and nation closest to Abraham. That was the descendants of Lot, the Moabites. Yet somehow, before they realized it, instead of submitting to the blessing of the Lord, who had blessed Israel, they came to make it their national enterprise to curse those who were under God's blessing. And what's more, they even sought to curse and kill their closest relatives, their neighbors, the people of Israel. Rather than looking at the blessing of Israel, their closest relatives, they relied on themselves, bound by superstition, making themselves king and choosing instead a salvationless, desolate way of life, cursing one another. And to such Moabites, God, despite their bad motive of approaching Israel in order to curse them, God used even that bad motive to provide them here and now with a chance and opportunity to return like the Israelites under the blessing of God. This is how I interpret it. In his own way, Balak had a divine experience through the act of hiring the fortune teller Balaam. Through Balaam's mysterious experiences of God and of the Holy Spirit, and through seeing Balaam, who was led by the Spirit of God to declare words of blessing upon Israel instead of cursing them. In spite of all this, Balak, the king, Balak experienced something of God, and yet Balak returned to his own place. The king, Balak, did not choose the blessing of fearing Christ and submitting to one another. Even though the king was given an opportunity to escape spiritual blindness, he rejected it. So, when we look at these two men, Balaam and Balak, we are made to realize that the fact that we have been enabled to believe in Jesus Christ, to know the one true God, to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, all of that itself is already a miracle. In some ways, we are no different from Balaam or Balak, both who are sinners, spiritually blind, born as children who deserve wrath. And we are tempted to Satan and evil spirits. We are tempted by Satan and evil spirits. We are people full of sin and guilt. And yet we have been given the Holy Spirit, have come to believe in Christ, and while seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, have come to want to live in the fear of Christ, submitting to one another. This itself is without a doubt a miracle. Today we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. As we share with one another the bread representing his body and the wine representing his shed blood, may we once again inscribe upon our hearts the warm feeling, the warm meaning of the words Jesus spoke when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." May we seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit in order to fear Christ and submit to one another. And while seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, may we be granted the joy of dying to ourselves. It is my prayer that we, Tsuchiro Megumi Church, would be a church in which the words, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, fear Christ, and submit to one another," are lived out. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Submit to one another. Let me pray.